You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and right here for the Locked On LSU podcast. We'll let you hear from Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio, previewing the Wildcats. I'll give you a pick on the game, but we also hear from Ed Ogeron, who met with the media on Thursday with one last look ahead to the Wildcats.
The guys were very spirited this week. We worked on a lot of things that we said we're going to work on. Saturday night is going to be a chance to prove it against a very good football team in a hostile environment. We're going to get up early tomorrow, meet here, practice here, and travel to Kentucky. Have some great meetings there. Have a great day. We should be rested Saturday night, 7:30.
Now, there is a little bit of disappointing news on the personnel front, and that involves one of LSU's starting defensive linemen.
And then just Joseph Evans, what's his status right now?
Joseph will not be able.
So no Joe Evans this week against Kentucky in that dominant running game for the Wildcats. Remember, no Glenn Logan already, so now no Joe Evans. So that's two interior players, veteran players that you're counting on that now are unable to go on that defensive front. So, you know, how does LSU make up for the loss of a Joe Evans in this ballgame? Well, obviously it means you're going to see more of Jaquelin Roy. And, you know, Jaquelin Roy has played very well so far. You know, I don't know how much you buy into things like Pro Football Focus, but, you know, they are great. They have graded Jaquelin Roy as one of the best interior defensive tackles in the country so far through five games. So there's a lot of reason to be excited about a guy like Jaquelin Roy getting more snaps, but obviously what happens here is it just continues to affect your depth. So it's disappointing that you won't have Joseph Evans, especially against a Kentucky team, which is one of the best rushing teams in the SEC. But Jaquelin Roy is actually your leading tackler among defensive tackles. And actually Mason Smith is next, then Neil Farrell. So a lot of reason to be confident still in the group you have. But without Glenn Logan and without Joseph Evans now, Jaquelin Roy likely will start next to Neil Farrell, and you're going to count more on young guys like Mason Smith and obviously Jacoby and Guillory as well. Now, Ed Ogeron was also asked about Sage Ryan.
Yeah, and listen, he has been practicing outstanding. He's been all over the field. I do believe he's going to get some reps. He's ready to play. I don't know if he knows the defense. He knows the defense. He had the proper reps because he was hurt so long. But I do believe that he's going to get a chance to play, yeah.
That's certainly fantastic news. One of the highest-rated prospects in this year's class, this year's signing class, a five-star safety, and it comes at a week where you're not going to have major burn. So Ed Ogeron has said, of course, you have Jay Ward back there. They'll count on Cam Lewis and Jordan Tolles to step up at safety, Todd Harris. But you're adding now Sage Ryan, who we always sort of saw in that nickel safety role leading up to this season. But again, another very talented player back in the secondary. Major Burns has the experience. Sage Ryan hasn't played at all this year because of injury, but it's at least good to have him back there in the secondary. And one more from Ed Ogeron, personnel-wise, he was asked to elaborate a bit on the Derek Stingley injury.
No, I can't say that's, that's the release. We talked to him and his father, and that's the release that we came up with. And he did have a procedure, and that's all I can say.
And that's done to protect his future in the NFL, right?
Like, I just know that usually I don't say anything to my players, what got hurt, how they got hurt. We wanted to go ahead and say there was a procedure. That was a team thing. We all got together and said that, and that's all we're going to say.
Understandably evasive, but if you're an LSU fan, kind of holding out hope that you might see Derek Stingley again, that certainly seems less and less likely with every time something like Stingley is come up. It certainly remains possible that Derek at some point could choose to return, and I do believe that Derek himself would want to return, but from his family, from his representation, they understand what he has on the line, something we discussed earlier this week, and risking further injury is risking a future that has, tens of millions of dollars in it in just a few short months. So if it is the end of the road for Derek Stingley at LSU, we salute him for an amazing career when we did get to see him, albeit fleeting. But I would recommend one of the podcasts we did earlier this week where we talked about Derek Stingley's injury if you want to check that out. And as always, we thank you for making us your first listen right here at Locked On LSU, where we're brought to you by Built Bar and BuiltBar.com. The best tasting protein bar in the world is Built Bar. So many delicious flavors. Find your favorite flavor today. Maybe it's cookies and cream, salted caramel, the raspberry, the strawberry, the orange. Find your favorite flavor at BuiltBar.com. The best tasting protein bar in the world. High protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar, keto, gluten-free. It's Built Bar, covered in 100% chocolate, soft and chewy. I'm telling you, it's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's Built Bar. Order yours today at BuiltBar.com. Use the code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Again, use the code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to save 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. As we continue here, Locked On LSU, and thanking you for making us your first listen every day, had a chance to visit with Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio to preview this game from across the field. And I started by asking just about the fundamentals of the day, where Kentucky is coming off a giant win against Florida, maybe a look-ahead spot to Georgia, and here comes little old LSU. What about the hangover effect for the Wildcats?
I think there would be if they were playing anyone left on their schedule except maybe LSU. Because, right, if you had Mississippi State or if you had Vandy or Tennessee, you might be worried about that. I think LSU is a name that these guys all know. I mean, Dare Rosenthal, of course, played there, and he's very well liked on the team. I think because it's LSU, they'll bring it again. If it was somebody else, I think that'd be a fair worry. But I just don't – I mean, listen, they haven't put – none of these guys have played LSU in their career, and they are excited about it. There's a belief – this is the thing about Kentucky players. There's a belief that Kentucky and the players are completely undervalued every year. It's not just that, like, they've had good seasons through the last 4 years and they're still always picked sixth in the SEC East. It's that if you look at the draft in the last 4 years – Kentucky is third to Alabama and LSU in guys drafted in the SEC. Third. And nobody thinks about that. Nobody even acts like that's something that happens. Still every year they go, well, Kentucky's out talented against the rest of the SEC. Well, you know, maybe, but not as much as it used to be. And I actually think against most teams now, it's not even true anymore. So I think they like games like this as a chance to show, hey, you don't consider us part of that group, but we're right there knocking at the door.
That is fascinating. Of course, you've got the leading rusher, leading receiver in the SEC right now. They are formidable. I was going to ask you just a general feeling on this LSU team. Matt, what is the feeling there about this squad, which comes to Baton Rouge scuffling a bit?
Well, the shocking thing to me is that LSU can't run the ball. I mean, the one thing you always assumed LSU would be able to do is run. I never thought you'd see an LSU team that would struggle to get any rushing yards. And, you know, Florida was maybe one of the best rushing teams in the country, and Kentucky kind of shut them down. At least, well, they didn't shut them down, but they limited their running ability last week. So, you know, I think that's the surprise to me from what I've seen. But with that said, I am not downplaying this game. I still think LSU can win. Backs against the wall. I think you all know better than I do, but it looks to me like they might be playing for Orgeron's job because it's hard to see LSU loses this game. I'm not sure how they have a winning record. If they don't have a winning record, I'm not sure what his future is. You would know better than me.
Yeah.
But I got to think if they like Orgeron, and it feels like to me they do, they're going to give their best effort. And so I don't think this is a slam dunk. And by the way, I don't think Kentucky fans do either. Going back to the Bluegrass Miracle, Kentucky fans have lost too many games in heartbreaking ways to ever feel like they're overconfident. So I think a lot of Kentucky fans are excited. Most of them went into the Florida LSU back-to-back and said, if we could just win one of these two. Well, now that they've won one, you get sort of greedy and you want to win them both.
Yeah.
But I think that fans are cautiously optimistic.
He's on Twitter at KY Sports Radio. He's Matt Jones, breaking down LSU Kentucky. Let's talk about what we're going to see on the field. The whole thing with Will Levis this year was, man, is Kentucky finally going to open it up and throw the ball? And week one they did. He threw for over 300 yards. And every week since, it's kind of eroded a bit. So what do we make of this Kentucky passing game, Matt?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's Will Levis' fault, although he hasn't been great. They just don't have very many good receivers. I mean, that's the problem for Kentucky. Wandale Robinson is a star. Best receiver that's been here probably since that 07 team with Keenan Burton and some of those guys. But the problem is they really don't have anybody else. Josh Ali is probably their second best guy, and he's going to be out for this game. He was hurt in the Florida game. And then everybody else is really young. I mean, I think they like their freshmen, and they think they can be good. But, you know, it was very hard for them to recruit wide receivers because they never threw it, right? So it's catch 22. How do you recruit wide receivers when you don't throw it? You don't throw it because you don't have any wide receivers. So I think they'll be better in the next year or two, a lot better. But for this year, this is still a running team. The difference between this year's team and the last couple is they got the threat of the deep shot. And, you know, against Florida, I said they need to have two big-time plays, unexpected, and they got them. They got a little screen to Wandale Robinson that went for 60 yards and a touchdown, and they blocked a kick. Those were the two plays. I think against LSU, you may not need two, but you got to have one. They got to get one explosive play. What Kentucky is really good at is just pounding you with the run. Chris Rodriguez is as good as I've ever seen at getting like 7 or 8 yards a carry consistently. He doesn't break a lot of them, but he just pounds you. And in the third and fourth quarter, I've never seen a running back in Kentucky better in terms of getting those hard yards. So if they can handle the football, not turn it over, because they didn't turn it over against Florida, they've turned it over a lot against everybody else. But if they can do that, get one big play of some sort, I think they're in pretty good shape because their defense is solid. Their defense has been really good, especially stopping the run. The way this team is able to defend the run really shocks me. I didn't think they'd be as good as they've been.
Matt, I'm not even going to ask you about run defense because LSU just – they couldn't run it against McNeese. They're not going to run it against Kentucky. So the question is, if LSU sits back – and they throw it 40 times a game, 45 times, with all of those receivers that they have, is Kentucky able to limit LSU in the pass game? Matt, I mean, it almost feels like watching Mississippi State, watching the LSU offense right now.
Well, I mean, I think that's the – so here's the way Kentucky's going to play them. They only have four active cornerbacks even on the roster, okay? So they do not want to put their quarterbacks in man very often. So they will sit back and let you guys dink and dunk. That's what they did against South Carolina. It's what they did against Missouri. And their theory is that their opponent will make a mistake, be it a penalty, be it try to run and they get a sack or you know, get a behind the line of scrimmage tackle, and that they'll stop you that way. And that's what they did against South Carolina. They let South Carolina throw, even though South Carolina has that great running back. They had to throw most of the game because Kentucky stopped the run. That's what they'll do. They'll try to make LSU throw short. If I'm LSU, it's been no team has thrown it deep on Kentucky all year. I'd be interested to see if anybody can. It probably is LSU, but I think that's going to be their game plan. And the question will be: Missouri, South Carolina, and Florida, Kentucky set back and let them beat themselves on offense every single game. They're going to try to do the exact same thing to LSU, and the question will be, is LSU disciplined enough to not do that? And you guys would know that answer better than me.
We're going to find out. Max Johnson has protected the football, but this has been a team that obviously in this past week was very mistake-prone. What about, Matt, this opened up a one-point spread. It got bet up to 3. It's the type of game where special teams could be the difference. Just like you mentioned, the blocked field goal for a touchdown that Kentucky got against Florida. Let us know. Give us a little peek behind the curtain there. Kentucky special teams, how are they?
Decent, but not great. I mean, they had an All-American punter that just graduated. They have not been very good, actually, in the punt game. They've been losing probably 8 to 10 yards against every team in punt differential. Field goals, solid, but not great. I mean, they're solid, but they're not – that they're not special. I mean, look, you look at this team. This is what, I mean, ask Florida fans. What frustrates them is you look at them and you go, okay, Chris Rodriguez is really good. Wandale's really good. But then they look at the rest of the team and go, why are we losing to these guys? But I think what they don't realize is that Kentucky doesn't, on this roster, they have maybe one first-round pick. But they've got about 10 third- or fourth-round picks. And this is a team full of third to fifth round NFL draft picks that are solid. They play kind of in the mold of Stoops, and that makes them very difficult. You've got to go and beat Kentucky, and they won't beat themselves, and they will be solid. They'll be in the right position. Now, if you have a crazy athlete that can, like, put on a move and they're more athletic, you might be able to score. but they're going to be in the right place. They're not going to break down. And then the offensive line, I think, is the most underrated unit in the country. Kentucky's offensive line has produced five pros in the last 3 years and has another two or three on this year's team. And people just don't realize how solid they are. Kentucky is solid, and unless you beat them, you will lose. And the question, again, I haven't seen LSU play well enough to do that yet, but I kind of feel like it's in them. There's too much talent there.
Yeah, I had a chance to chat with Darian Kennard at SEC Media Days. He's a terrifying human. And then, of course, LSU
fans
here.
Yeah, he's the one first-round pick.
Yeah.
He's the one first-round pick.
There's no doubt, man. He is a mountain. And then, of course, the LSU fans know about Darren Rosenthal there at left tackle. Matt, before you
go, How'd you lose him, by the way? Like that's a dude. You talk about a gift from the sky. And Mark Stoops has been – you talk about killing the transfer portal. I mean, if I were to sit here and say, what are Kentucky's 10 best players? Four of them are transfers. Yeah. I mean, Will Levis, Wandell Robinson, linebacker Jaquez Jones from Ole Miss, and then Dare Rosenthal. And all those dudes, with the exception of Wandell, just kind of fell in their laps. I mean, they just – he's done a – that's been the key to the team.
That is Matt Jones. I'll give you a pick on the game here in just a quick second. Got to remind you about betonline.ag. You want to bet on the Tigers and the Wildcats, best place to do it, betonline.ag, your number one spot for pro and college football betting, betonline.ag. Free to sign up. Go to your mobile device, betonline.ag, betonline.ag. Use the code LOCKEDON, one word, locked on, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So, you want to play this weekend? Deposit $100. They'll give you 50 for free to play with. BetOnline.ag. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports is BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Wrapping up a Friday edition here on the Locked On LSU podcast. Glad to have you with us. And as always, we appreciate you for making us your first listen every single day. This game just fascinates me. The line opened at 1. It got bet up to 3, 3.5 in some spots. It's now been bet back down to 2.5 here on Friday afternoon. And it makes a lot of sense. You know, LSU and Kentucky are built very differently. LSU has really struggled to throw the to run the football, but has been one of the better passing offenses in the conference and in the country. Kentucky, meanwhile, is the exact opposite. They have been absolutely miserable at throwing the football, especially last week where Will Levis completed 7 passes and threw for just 87 yards. This is a one-dimensional Kentucky team, which has one of the best running backs, statistically the best running back, the leading rusher in the SEC right now in Chris Rodriguez. But they certainly have no balance offensively either right now. And both defenses, strong up front, but Kentucky's had some vulnerabilities in the back end. So it's a game of contrasting styles, but similar results. Yes, Kentucky is 5-0, but the schedule hasn't been nearly as daunting as what LSU has faced. They beat ULM, Missouri, Chattanooga, South Carolina. Then the first ranked opponent they played was this past week against Florida. And they won that game 20-13, really by virtue of a blocked punt that they returned for a touchdown, as we mentioned, allowed nearly 200 rush yards to Florida. And threw it for just 87 yards against that Florida secondary. You look at points per game, LSU 31, Kentucky 28. So LSU scores about 3 more points per game than Kentucky. Points allowed, Kentucky allowing just 16, LSU allowing 23. But again, look at the competition there that they faced. And then we kind of went through the offense. It's just contrasting styles. The thing certainly that's worth keeping an eye on is turnovers. Through 5 games, Kentucky is -9 in the turnover margin. LSU, if they can force turnovers from Kentucky, play a short field game, and protect the football in their own right. LSU has not lost a fumble yet this year. And Max Johnson just has thrown 4 interceptions. So that's it, the 4 turnovers so far in 5 games are the 4 Max Johnson interceptions. This is a game, you know, Will Levis, for example, has 6 interceptions on the season. This is a game that LSU absolutely can win. I'll say this, though. I think it is imperative for LSU to get on Kentucky early. When you are a team that is coming off a disappointing loss like LSU was last week, when you've had a lot of the circumstances, the noise around the program, a lot of the negativity, and you go into a game like this where it's going to be a packed house, where Kentucky is trying to improve to 6-0 for the first time since 1950. I mean, this is uncharted territory for Kentucky. And those fans are going to be there, and they're going to be all greased up and lathered up and ready to roll and be loud. If you're LSU, if you get off to a slow start, that snowball can build, and this could get out of hand. The flip side, though, is also true. If you're LSU and you start fast the way they have the last 2 weeks, scoring touchdowns on their opening possessions of the ball game, this is a scenario where I really think that Kentucky, with an offense that hasn't really been high-powered, where LSU, if they get off to a good start, get an early lead, and make Kentucky play from behind with a run-first offense, you could be in a four-quarter dogfight, and with really good special teams, you could win the game. And I have been so dead wrong with everything so far. I picked LSU to beat UCLA. I was wrong. I picked LSU to lose at Mississippi State. They won. I picked LSU to beat Auburn in Baton Rouge. We know what happened last week. So I don't have any confidence that I have a good read on what this team is going to do and be. I do think, though, LSU is more battle-tested than Kentucky is. And we saw them win on the road at Mississippi State against a one-dimensional team. I think LSU is going to manage to find a way to win this game. And I'll pick LSU to win it 24-20 in Lexington. We'll be back here on Monday to recap it all. And should LSU lose, and if it is ugly, the ramifications certainly could impact Ed Orgeron. And there's at least a possibility that it could be time for regime change. We'll know after Saturday, and you know we'll be talking about it right here, Locked on LSU, where we thank you for making us your first listen every single day. It is Locked on LSU, your team every day.